Today on Real Life Radio.
Church, all these things are for us to get ready and to be evangelists and to be lovers of men's souls and to be disciples and followers of Jesus and to be looking up the whole time.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, we've all felt the pressure, even the guilt of not giving God more of our time. Life in our fast-paced world can be exhausting, trying to navigate through hectic schedules, unexpected challenges, and even a health scare. The irony is that so much of that pressure would go away if we would just slow down and quiet ourselves so we can truly experience God's presence. After all, a life apart from God is really no life at all. So how can we make pursuing God a priority in our lives? Our current featured resource can help. It's called The Pursuit of God, and it's written by a renowned author and evangelist, A.W. Tozer. This Christian classic offers hope and guidance to pursue God in a whole new way.
The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze slowly towards Him. The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his new series called Futures with a message titled After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 2. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about the future and why it matters to our lives today. You see, the authority of the Bible is unequaled. It's the revelation of the will of God, perfectly harmonized to promote one individual, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with absolute accuracy and without error. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist arrives on the scene. And with a stroke of satanic genius, he will control the masses with a mark, his name, or his number, 666. Now with his message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I hate to blow your mind so early in the morning, but there will never be the normal that you used to know. These guys and a host of others will not allow it. How can you say that? Because the Bible says there's a coming economic reset. And when the world tells us they are working on a global economic reset, no wonder why I had you hold up your Bible. And so, taking place in the context of the United Nations General Assembly, farce, the World Economic Forum's fourth and, for the first time, fully virtual, sustainable, and it goes on to talk about how we bring the world together as one economically to press reset, making nations equal. Think of it. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Listen, it sounds great. It sounds great. Listen, let's be honest. Socialism works perfect if everybody in it is perfect. That's why it's never worked. Socialism is a fancy statement for a couple of power brokers to dupe people into thinking they've got everything in common and they'll give you some vodka and some cheese and some bread while they live like cosmic kings. And it's been the same throughout all of human history, because why? The human heart is corrupt. But my millennial told me we're gonna do it right this time. How can you take counsel from someone who has not learned yet how to make their bed or make a credit card payment? The Great Reset. I love millennials, don't get me wrong. I love them. In fact, we have great millennials walking around this campus, thank God. If this nation had our millennials, this nation would be a different place today. But there's a global economic reset coming. The next slide, check this out. Next one. Hitting the reset button to avoid a new Great Depression. This is from Forbes magazine. See that? I'm not making it up. And I'm going to give you a Bible here in a second to show you what undergirds this movement. Third slide. Global economic reset, promoting a more inclusive recovery. Don't tell me we're not near the end. Look up, friends. Any day now. This calamity could lead to a significant rise in income inequality. Yes. Yes, when you have a policy of you're essential and you're not essential. Translation, inequality. Do you hear me? Is this making too much sense? Oh, there's so much inequality. Hey, why don't you just get off of your political microphone and go sit on your throne and let people work and let them do what they have been called to do, and you won't have inequality. And this is a fact. It's a fact. It was once something that happened for hundreds and hundreds of years in what was once called the United States of America. And it could jeopardize development gains from educational attainment to poverty reduction. The new estimates suggest that up to 100 million people worldwide could be pushed into extreme poverty. That's a fact. That's exactly what's happening right now. And some of it is happening in your community. Erasing all gains made in poverty reduction in the past 3 years. No wonder why the Bible says this man, the Antichrist, will come on the world scene with a team pressing a reset button to relieve people from this man-made mismanagement, or maybe man-made stroke of demonic genius to gain control. Remarkable. Revelation 13, verse 16, regarding the tribulation period, there'll be this man who comes on the scene. It says that he will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. We used to think that was weird. Now, and I've always explained it away, and I still do, by the way, that we're too vain, or humanity. We're not going to be here. The church will be gone when this happens. Humans are too vain to have a mark on their forehead. I mean, I'm thinking they just cover it up with makeup or something. Or on their right hand. I get the right hand. Tattoo, number, something. I get that. But on your face? The Bible says there's going to be a day when people are going to receive, they'll have an option. You want it on your forehead? Or do you want it on your right hand? I find that fascinating. Maybe it's going to be, what's the word, subcutaneous? Subcutaneous, where it's underneath the skin. You know, Israel has now the no more the barcode on stuff. They have a chip. They have a chip that is so small it's woven into fabric itself. You can't even see it. You can't even detect it. And they put it on terrorists, by the way. They'll arrest a terrorist, and they'll sew it into his beanie or in his robe. They'll interrogate him and then turn him loose, and the guy goes home, and they track him on a satellite all the way home. They can pick up an Israeli fiber, a piece of clothing, a book, or a part. And that little super microscopic thing is built in. It used to be have all the data of a barcode is now reduced down to a quarter of a grain of sand. They could put that in you. I don't know. But look at Revelation. Keep going. Revelation 13, 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the number or the name of the beast, excuse me, or the number of his name. And we know if you keep reading that chapter, it says that his number of his name is 666. By the way, in Jewish thinking, in the Hebrew mind, 666 in numerology is man making himself to be a god. Man declares himself God. 666, that's what that stands for. And it'd be some sort of a prefix number. You won't be duped into it, by the way. Don't ask me after service. If I get the vaccination, am I going to be accepting the mark of the beast? Nope, you won't. You're going to have to willfully accept the mark. And by the way, if you're a Christian today, you won't even be here. If you're not a Christian today, you should become one. And if you don't become one, then do you want it on your right hand or your forehead? Because you're going to be sent a lie. And you won't be able to believe. Because it says there in 2 Thessalonians, deception is going to be sent by God to those who had a chance. Woo! Man, that's serious. But we say, man, that's ridiculous. You really believe that? Yeah, I do. Bible hasn't been wrong yet. You can bank on it being right, but it seems kind of outlandish. You see, all of a sudden, a global reset and a world economic decision that this is how we're going to buy and sell. This is how we're going to reset the economies. We're going to do this. Nobody's going to be able to buy or sell unless they have this number. And that number is going to indicate that you've sworn allegiance to the policies of the one warned about in Daniel 8:25, that this one will come. This world leader will arise out of a crisis and he's going to have all of the answers, and what he says goes, and the world will love him. Number two, there is left behind a God in the making, this Antichrist. And mark it down, he's Satan's man who's in the shadows right now. I believe that the man, it's my opinion that he's alive somewhere today, and that's not as far stretch. And you guys, you know, I'm repeating myself from last time, that Satan has always had to have an Antichrist in his pocket. Because Satan doesn't know when God is going to rapture the church. So when the church is gone, then the end time scenario begins. So in every generation, think of it, Satan has had to have a man in the wings waiting. And kind of gave you a little, you know, creepy feeling when I mentioned to you that, think about it, right now, somewhere in the world, Satan's probably got 2, 3, 4, 5 guys that he has in his pocket, and they're in waiting just in case. Can you imagine? I bet you Satan is like this every day regarding the rapture. There's a horn honk in New York City, and he's like, because the Bible tells us you and I are supposed to be constantly watching, waiting, and ready. It's a big trigger. And this man that's in the shadows, the Bible calls him the son of perdition, he will be revealed. It's remarkable. In 2 Thessalonians, the church was troubled because they were being told by false teachers that not only had they missed their rapture, but they were right in the middle of the end times and Christ would be coming back momentarily to establish his kingdom. The false teachers had completely removed the millennial reign and they had removed the church age. In verse 2, it says, don't be soon shaken, or not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. Number one, that day will not come unless the departing from faith happens, apostasy, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. He's going to exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God, hang on, in the temple of God. You need Jerusalem for that. You need Jews in control of Israel and Jerusalem for that to happen. And he's going to show himself that he is God. Those of you who are young enough, you've always known your map and globe to have Israel on your map. Now, I am too, by the way. I was born in 1958. But in 1948, on May 14th, in one day, never before in human history, Israel became a nation a second time. Isaiah said, shall a nation be brought forth in a day? Yep. And that one of those prophetic clocks started ticking regarding the end times. And then, remember you guys, those of us who are a little bit older now, I think I was about 9 years old-ish, 10-ish, when there was a big battle. And the Jews took control of Jerusalem for the first time in 2,000 years. You should say, wow! In 2,000 years, they had no control. But the Bible says, in many places, on many various topics, the Jews have got to be back in the land before Christ establishes his second coming, coming to his throne. They've got to be in control of Jerusalem when that happens. And in 1967, Israel, first time in 2,000 years, took control of Jerusalem. Yeah, that's amazing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So, another clock started ticking, as it were. And here you read in a 2,000-year-old document that's open on your lap that this guy, this son of perdition, Antichrist, he's going to stand in the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God. This is for your research later. Go research the many, many websites of how Israel is ready today to start rebuilding the temple. Today. Go to the templemountinstitute.org. Take a look. Church, all these things are for us to get ready and to be evangelists and to be lovers of men's souls and to be disciples and followers of Jesus and to be looking up the whole time. Matthew 24, verse 15. Jesus talked about this. Matthew 24, 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, isn't it amazing, church? Jesus expects his people to know the book of Daniel. Question, don't answer out loud. Do you know the book of Daniel? It's the holy of holies of Bible prophecy, the book of Daniel. You'll never understand the book of Revelation unless you read the book of Daniel. So the question is, how you should ask yourself, how well do I know the book of Daniel? And start studying it today. We'll cover many of it and much of it in our series here, but you need to read it. That warning by Daniel, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And here we go, Daniel 12, verse 11. From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped, let me explain that. According to the Bible, the Antichrist is going to go into the temple and he's going to tell the priest, get out of the way. And he's going to desecrate the temple. I wonder how many eschatologists are in this room right now. The Bible tells you exactly the day he'll do it. Did you know that? The day. On the 1260th day, the book of Daniel tells us, from the Antichrist signing a 7-year contract with Israel. Are you listening? Yes. There's 360 days in the Bible calendar, not 365. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is based on a 360-day calendar. There is no 365 calendar in the Bible. 1,260 days, which is a biblical 3.5 years, from the day the peace treaty is signed, 1,260 days from that day, he's going to go into the temple and he's going to go on CNN and Fox and all the cable and all the satellite networks. And the Bible says the world will see this and he will declare himself to be God. And you know what the world does? The world goes, right on. You're awesome. And the Bible says, Jesus says in Matthew 24 to the Jews, the moment you see that happen, run. Don't even go downstairs to get your coat. Run. In the midpoint, he will go into the temple and declare himself to be God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no temple in Jerusalem right now, but they're talking about building it. Wow. I'm looking up. Yes. I'm excited. Amen. So from the time the daily sacrifice is stopped, that's where he interrupts with himself, and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshiped, there will be 1,290 days, the 30 days added are explained in Daniel 12 in greater detail. 1260, 1260, there's an added 30. And then listen, there's, as you read Daniel 12, it will mention to you the 1,235th day. Everything is coded there in Daniel, but it's all based upon the signing of the 7-year contract, which has everything to do with God and his people, Israel, and not you. That's why you can't find the church anywhere in the tribulation period. You should get excited about that. The next thing is that there's going to be left behind the preparation of the gospel of the nations, the preparation of the nations. There's going to be a manifestation. And again, I showed you this last time, where the world's going to look around. And what causes 4 predominant leaders? The Bible tells us both in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel that there's going to be 4 leaders that will arise out of a conglomeration of leaders. So it kind of goes like this. Have you ever looked at like the photograph of like the G, you know, the G10 or the G20? Anybody familiar with that? Where it's the global nations that make, they're the movers and the shakers. The big 10 or the big 20 nations of the world that set policy predominantly about economics. You can look at every picture since they've been doing this. But if you ever notice that right in the middle, they always line the guys up. And they always put the guys right in the middle where it's all riding on. So there'll be the United States, there'll be Germany, there'll be England. And sometimes they throw in Russia as a courtesy, to be honest with you, because Putin was so upset that he didn't get to stand there. But it's always the big brokers. The Bible says out of that group that will arise, there'll be four that will be in the middle of the picture. And the Bible says one of them, who is the least significant of them, he's not such a big deal. He would be like Macron today. I am not saying Macron's the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be brilliant. The Antichrist is going to be articulate. The Antichrist is going to be something. But this guy, he's going to rise up and he's going to have these demonic powers come upon him where he'll be able to speak and people will not be able to refute what he says. They're going to be like, oh my goodness, that was brilliant. He's probably going to be surprised himself with what he says. And the Bible says Satan will enter him. Do you guys want me to show you that quote from last week, or did I not show you?
Sure.
Let's look at it again. Let's go ahead. Remember that one? Former Belgian Prime Minister of the Founding Fathers of the European Union. Quote, we do not want another committee. We do not, we have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold allegiance of all people and to lift us out of this economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man. And be he God or devil, we will receive him. And that is true. That's going to happen. Remarkable. Remarkable statement. Satan knows this well, and he knows how we're designed, and we know that we've got to have a leader. Whatever God gives church, Satan prostitutes and pimps it. You know that. God gives government, man creates politics. God gives sex, and man turns it into pornography. God gives life, man aborts it. We are one messed up lot.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called After the Saints Go Marching In, Part 2. So glad you could join us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scripture from the Bible and what it means for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. It's always a pleasure to see my good friend Pastor Jack in studio with us. Hey, Pastor Jack, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. We've got an awesome featured resource, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Awesome is a good word for it. Yeah. Fantastic would be another word for it.
Yeah, listen, are there bigger words than awesome or fantastic? If there are, it applies to this book. And I have to tell you, I am so biased. I think the first time I read this book was something like 1979. Yeah. And it was so transformative in my life that I've just made it a regular book that I read annually. And man, is it powerful. It's a little book. Don't let the size fool you. I actually think it's about a quarter of an inch, maybe half inch in thickness. Very small, but so super powerful. And it's life-changing.
I love the fact that you say you read it annually, because quite frankly, any book that you decide to read annually, I got to get my hands on that. Why is it so important to you that you do read this book every year?
You know what? It's the caliber of the spiritual depth that's there. It causes me to come back home, so to speak. I don't know how he does this. Tozer was known as a word craftsman.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is read the first chapter and you'll see what people are talking about, where he's able to string along several sentences or even a paragraph. And you've got to, I'm not kidding, you've got to set it down and actually think about what he just said.
Yeah, really think it through.
It's so deep. It's so well said. It's so powerful. And so, you know well, Davey, that when we encourage people to get a book, that we believe in these books. These are books that we're very selective about.
Yeah.
They're books that I have read personally. This one's at the top of the list. I mean, yes, hello, everybody. The Bible's at the top of my list.
Good point.
When it comes to human authorship, this book is probably my most read non-Bible book.
I don't think you can get much more of an endorsement than that. Pastor Jack's, other than the Bible, most read book, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God. It's our featured resource this month at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.